today. Easter Sunday. Woo! Love it. I've been thinking about it a lot and just how, you know, I think we can go either way with Easter. We can take it for granted and it's just like every other day, or we can make it this big religious thing. But I've just been really enjoying the opportunity just to remember what Jesus did in just a simple way and just really, you know, make that personal for me and make that real for me and in a fresh way just say, God, just thank you for Jesus and for what he did. And that's just so amazing. And let's never lose sight of that. Let's never take it for granted. Let's never turn it into a religious production or something like that. But let's, like, every day, but every Easter is such a good chance just to go, God, thank you for everything that you've done for me. Thank you for your son. And I'm going to pray before we start. God, thank you so much for what this day represents. And God, thank you that you love us so much that Jesus died for us. But God, that he didn't stay dead, that he beat death and he rose again. And because of that, God, we can have forgiveness for our sins. We can have eternity with you, God, and we can have relationship with you. And so, God, I just thank you so much for that and for every person here that is loved by you and chosen by you, God, and that you have a plan for every single one of us. And so, God, we give you glory and honor and just pray that you would just be with us right now. God, thank you that you're here and that you're already speaking. And God, I just pray that you would just speak through me with your word tonight, God, and you'd really put something on our hearts. Amen. Whew. I'm nervous tonight. Why is that? Thanks, Dad. We should have a conversation. That was, I felt like earlier this week I really got something from God, and it was a word, and it was something that I really wanted to talk on, and I feel like it's good. Well, not good. Like, I feel like it's important. And I hope I don't stuff it up, and that's why I feel nervous. So I'm going to get into it, hey? And we're gonna read a chunk of Bible tonight. So I hope that you brought your Bible with you. If you didn't, it should be on the screen. But I would encourage you to, you know, bring your Bible, download your Bible. I was thinking today how incredible it is that Jesus knew that you would be able to get the Bible on an app on your iPhone. How cool is that? Jesus knew that like the iPhone would come out and the people would make an app and then you would read it in English on your phone. That's cool, isn't it? Come on. He's got everything under control, every plan. And before anybody ever thought of an iPhone, Jesus knew it was going to happen. I think he had one for the joy set before him. Wow. That's blasphemy or something bad. That's terrible. Anyway, that was my aside. Was that like high voiced so to pretend that somebody else was saying it? That was good. Yes, I know. All right, anyway. Okay, so I was reading the Bible this week and something struck me that had never struck me before. And so I want to share that with you. And so if you've got your Bible and you read along, maybe everyone else has already figured this one out and this is going to be old news, but maybe some of you haven't and it's going to be awesome because it was awesome for me. I think when the Bible says something more than once, you should take notice of it because God uses repetition in the Bible to say there is something important about this and there is something that I'm trying to say. And then, like, you should listen up, yeah? Okay, and so we're going to start in Luke 5. So if you get your Bible, turn to Luke 5. This is the calling of the first disciples. So I'm going to just read it. It says, one day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, which is the Sea of Galilee, the people were crowding around him, listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, or Peter, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we have worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came filled with both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. So were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. You with me? This is the calling of the disciples and of Peter. We're just going to keep going through this because I want to, this next part makes, the bit after makes sense. So this is not the same story twice. This is another bit. In Luke 22, we're reading about the crucifixion of Jesus. I'm going to read from verse 54. It says, "They seized Jesus and they led him away. They took him to the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance. But when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter sat down with them. A servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, 'This man was with him,' but he denied it. 'Woman, I don't know him,' he said. A little later, someone else saw him and said, 'You also are one of them.' 'Man, I am not,' Peter replied. About an hour later, another asserted, 'Certainly this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean.' Peter replied, 'Man, I do not know what you were talking about.' Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him, 'Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times.' And he went outside and wept bitterly." God is the God of the second chance. And my message tonight is called Second Chances. Because Peter, he's an incredible guy, and he gets this call from God on his life to just to leave everything and to follow Jesus with everything. But when Jesus is captured and when Jesus is going to be killed, he stuffs up. He makes a big mistake here, and he denies Jesus three times. And what's amazing and how this story continues is Jesus' grace and his love and his forgiveness for Peter and for all of us. I really believe that this story is not just about Peter's life and his like calling and his stuff up and his restoration, but it's like a giant real life parable for us. Our calling, our stuff up, our forgiveness. And so I want to keep going on, and you'll notice some similarities in this part. This is what blew me away, so I'm hoping that you're excited by it because I'm really talking it up. In John 21, so turn to John 21 if you're there. Okay, so Jesus has died, he has risen again, and he has appeared to his disciples. So it says, "Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias." This is actually the same place as Lake of Gennesaret, Sea of Galilee. They just have different names, but it's the same lake, just so you know. He said it happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them. And they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net out on the right side of the boat and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you've just caught." Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, but even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." I'm reading a chunk, but just bear with me. Read with me. Where was it? None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who you are?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time. "Do you love me?" he said. "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." I was amazed when I read this story in John because it is exactly the same. And the thing that just stood out above everything to me was just that Jesus gives Peter a second chance. It's a total do-over. He goes, "I called you, I chose you, I did this miracle to call you, and you stuffed it up, but I'm going to do it again." And Jesus does the exact same thing again and calls Peter again in the same way. And it's just, I was just like, what? Anybody else realize this? Am I the only one that had never read this before and figured that out? Okay, I am. All right. Well, you're going to have a boring message tonight because I'm just going to share what was big for me this week. You know, the Bible isn't just a recording of history. It's a message from God to us. You know, these things were not just written so that, you know, Peter could remember what had happened. They were written as a message to us. And it's incredible that Jesus knew. That's what I was saying before about the iPhone. It did have a real thing here. There was a spiritual element to this. Jesus knew that they would be recorded, that they would be translated, that we would read it, and that we would learn from it. And that's incredible. Read your Bible more. Like, I think we should just read the Bible more. Because the more you read it, the more you understand, the more you get, the more God speaks to you. You know, it says, "Man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word from God." And the Bible is the word of God. And I was thinking today how you wouldn't forget to eat. You know, sometimes you might fast and you deliberately not eat, but you don't forget to eat for a day and go, "Oh, I just forgot all day to eat." But we forget to read the Bible. And I was just like, I'm challenged by that. You know, how could I forget to read the Bible when it's the bread of life, yeah? Anyway, God is the God of second chances. This story is just this amazing picture of God's patience with us and his love for us and his grace and, you know, what it means that Jesus died for us on the cross, that he would give us a second chance, that he would give us another go. We need to remember that Easter is about Jesus saying, "Here is one big second chance. You get another go. Like, you stuffed it up the first time, but I'm going to give you another chance." Just like he did with Peter, it's exactly the same for us. Are you with me tonight? You there? Good. So I guess I want to share from these stories some things that I felt like God was showing me, and I really hope that that speaks to you and that God says something to you through it and through his word. So the first thing is, I think we need to understand that by ourselves we are lost. You know, Peter is like, the disciples have seen Jesus die and they've seen him rise again and they've met him, but they don't know what to do. And so Peter, it says, he goes, and despite Jesus saying in the start of Luke, "You'll no longer fish, but you will fish for men," Peter says, "Let's go fishing. Let's go back to the thing that we used to do before this whole Jesus thing happened, because I don't know what else to do." And I think, like, that's me, that's you, that's us, you know. You stuff up, and you don't know what to do. And so you go back because you're like, "Well, I can't see a way forward. I don't know what to do." I think Peter doesn't see a way out of what he's done. He knows that he's done the wrong thing and he knows that he's stuffed it up. And so he's like, "I don't know how to get out of this, but so I'm just going to go back to the thing that I was doing before." Yeah. And I think it's easy to look at Peter and judge him for that. But, you know, we all do that. We all go back. Yeah. You know, we've known Jesus, but we go back to sin. Now, we've known what it means to follow God, but we go back to the old way. We know what it means to receive God's love and grace, but we will still try and live by law. Like, it's crazy, but we do it. We all do it. We've all done it. You know, our nature wants to take us back to that bottom level. In Isaiah 53, it says in verse 6, we all, like sheep, have gone astray, and each of us has turned his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. The him is Jesus. Now, all of us have done this. I've been reading in Judges, and it's amazing how often, you know, people just, it just says, and the Israelites did what seemed best to them, and then all this bad stuff happened. And, you know, that's like, it's easy to read that, but, you know, that's just as much my story and your story as it is the Israelites' story. It's just as much the history of, like, our society as it is our personal history. And I think we need to understand that all of us have gone back and that all of us have turned around and we've known something of God, but we have just turned our back on that and walked away and gone back to what we used to do. And, like, we need to get past this idea of self-dependence that somehow, some way, I can do it by myself and I can get there and realize that there is nothing that we can do on our own to get acceptance from God, that we need God. Amen? It's like, I don't want to keep just pushing it. I don't want to harp on it, but we need to get it. Because if you don't get that, then the rest of the miracle doesn't make sense and doesn't mean anything. So Peter went back. We all go back, and we don't know what to do. Yeah, we're lost by ourselves. The good thing, the amazing thing, is that Jesus makes a way. Jesus comes and he says, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some fish. And when they did, they were unable to haul in the net because of the large number of fish. He uses this exact same situation. It's the same lake. It's the same guys. It's the same miracle. Like, come on. He is saying to Peter, he's like, I am not going to make this any easier or more obvious for you. Here it is again. Press reset, have another go, you know? It's like a video game. Come on. And I think, as soon, like, they didn't know that it was Jesus, but I have this feeling that as soon as Peter hears Jesus say, throw it over the other side, he's like, oh. And straight away, he gets it. And he's just like, wow, yeah, I see what's happening. I get what's happening. And I'm sure that he remembers. Like, he has to remember that this lake where he has gone back to fishing is the same lake where he was called in the first place to follow Jesus. He knows where he is. He knows what's happening. And when Jesus says, and when he sees who it is, he jumps out of the boat. And he swims in to meet Jesus. And that's incredible, yeah? Jesus makes a way. He gives him a second chance. He says, I know that I can't do it by myself, but I am going to give you a way out. I'm going to give you a way to have another go at this. When we are powerless to do anything, Jesus makes a way. No, it's so amazing. And he even blesses Peter when he's doing the wrong thing. Like, Peter has gone back to the thing that he used to do, but Jesus uses the miracle to bless Peter. And I love this is my favorite part. When he gets to the shore, Jesus already has fish. And that's cool. Jesus is just like messing with him. He's just like, I didn't even need your fish. I didn't even need that. I've already got it here. And I just think that Jesus is just saying to Peter and to us, like, you know, it's hopeless to try and do anything by yourself. But trust me, and you won't have to worry about anything. You know, Jesus doesn't need you. He chooses you. That's amazing. And that's what Jesus does for Peter, and that's what he does for us. He makes a way for Peter. He gives him a second go. He gives him a reset. And he does the exact same for us. While we were still powerless, while we were still sinners, he made a way for us. Amen? Come on, that is so incredible. We need to understand that Easter is not just about chocolate. It's not just about a religious idea, but it is about Jesus making a way for us. Where I had no way by myself. Jesus giving us a second chance. But then the question and the big thing at the end of this story, the one thing that Peter has to do is respond to, "Do you love me?" You know, not "What have you done?" or "Why did you deny me?" Like, "I saw you do it. Why did you do that?" or "Why have you gone back to fishing?" or like anything like that. But he says, "But do you love me?" Now that's the question. It's not about being a good person or doing the right things or trying to like get through life. You know, all of us have lost on that one. The question, the one question that Jesus asks us is, "Do you love me?" It's so simple, it's so simple. In verse 15, he says, Jesus says to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he says, "you know that I love you." Jesus says, "Feed my lambs." And again, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He says, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." The third time he says to him, "Do you love me?" And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time. I thought it was interesting that Peter denies Jesus three times and Jesus asks him if he loves him three times. And he's saying, every sin, every time, I'm here and I'm going to give you a chance to come back. Every time that you deny me, every time that you go back, every time that you stuff up, I'm here with the same question. Not, "Why did you stuff up?" but, "Do you love me?" Because Jesus loves him. Jesus loves you. He loves me. And he's just sitting there saying, "Do you love me? Do you love me more than this stuff?" Come on. And just like the very first time when Peter fell down in front of Jesus and said, "Get away, I'm sinful," Peter realizes his sin and comes back to Jesus. Jesus gives him this second chance and Peter takes it. And he doesn't look back again. And that's amazing. And you read the rest of the Gospels and of Acts, and Peter is just a guy that he takes that second chance with both hands and he runs with it. And respect to him for that. Like, that's amazing, you know. And Jesus gives him the exact same call. He says, "Come follow me." Nothing changes. I think sometimes we think that if we've made a mistake and we've stuffed up, that somehow the call has just disappeared or we're not good enough anymore. But once Peter says, "Yes, I love you," Jesus says, "Well, come follow me." It's the same. Just follow me. And that is the simple question and invitation for us at Easter and every day and every week is, "Do you love me? Then come follow me." And that's it. You know, that's what Jesus is trying to say. That is what Easter is about. And Jesus is not waiting for you to stuff up, but he's waiting for you to try again. He's waiting for you to come back. He's sitting there saying, "Do you love me? Will you love me? Will you follow me?" You know, that's such a simple question, but so profound. And that's what this is about, and that's my message tonight, yeah? Jesus gives Peter this total do-over, this total second go. Same situation, same miracle, same everything. To say to Peter and to say to us, "I'm a God of second chances. I forgive you, I love you, I've called you, and I just want you to love me and follow me." It's that simple, yeah? And so while everything is the same in this the second time around, everything is different. Jesus has died. He has risen again. He has beaten death. He has beaten sin. Everything has changed. And so then when he comes back to Peter and when he comes to us, he can forgive our sin. He can take it. He's already taken it. He's already overcome. He's already won the victory. And he's there. And what he offers to Peter, he is offering to us. We have the same chance. We don't have to be unsure or afraid or feel lost or hurt. Jesus has made a way for your second chance. I'm going to pray. God, thank you so much for everything that you have done for us. And that, God, when we were lost in our sin, that you made a way for us to come back. God, we want to acknowledge that by ourselves, we just can't do it. But God, you make a way. You show your love for us, that Jesus died when we were miles from him, when we were living our own way, doing our own thing, God. When we stuff up, when we go back, when we do the things that we used to do, God, that you have made a way for us, and we thank you for it, God. God, I just pray that you would just ask each of us that question now, do you love me? And God, we would be able to respond in our heart. Thank you, God. I want to give that opportunity. That's a simple question. It's a simple question at Easter. It's a simple question every day. But God is there and he's asking, do you love me? He's got a call for you. He's got a plan for you. He's got promises for your life. He wants to have a relationship with you. You know, Jesus was there and he wanted to sit down and eat with his disciples and talk with them and do life with them and share with them and forgive them. And he just has the simple question, do you love me? And I, like, God is asking that question right now. He always is. But I want to give you an opportunity to respond to that tonight. And if you just want to say, I don't know, maybe like you recognize that you've gone back, but you want that second chance. I don't know what it is, but you feel like you need a second chance tonight. Then take it, you know, take it with both hands. And maybe you will stand with me. If that's you, we don't always get people to stand up and do that. But I feel like, you know, tonight's a chance, you know, right now to grab the second chance from God and say, yes, God, I love you and I will follow you. I'm sorry for the things that I've done and I need your forgiveness and I want to thank you for making a way for me to come back home. So if that's you, maybe just stand with me. I don't know if that's for someone or for a few people or maybe it takes some guts to stand, but no, I'm standing if that helps. Thank you, God. Thank you. Just an opportunity right now tonight, and I don't want to just push, but you know, it's an opportunity for a fresh start tonight if you want to take it, and I'd encourage you to take it. There's no reason not to, really. Just say, yes, God, I love you. The call is the same, the promise is the same. You haven't lost anything. It's all there when you respond to Jesus. So I'm just going to give it just a little bit longer, I think. Just wait on God. God, I just thank you for every person that is here tonight. God, that you love us, that you've chosen us, that you want us, God. You want a relationship with us. You want to forgive us. You want to be with us. You want to be close to us. You have a plan and a purpose for our lives. God, I thank you for every person and for every life and for every heart. And God, that you have made a way for us to come home. You have made a way for us to come back. God, you have given us a do-over. You have given us a second chance. And God, tonight we want to take it. God, we are sorry for living our own way. And we ask for your forgiveness, God. We thank you that you love us. And we love you back, God. let's all just stand together and we'll pray this prayer together. And even if like you are good with God and you are strong with God, let's take this chance just to thank Jesus for what he did for us. And just fresh give our hearts to him. Amen. So it's going to come up on the screen. We're all just going to pray this together. Dear Jesus, I believe in you. Thank you for forgiving me. Come into my life. I'll follow you. Amen. Thanks, guys.